Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we are going to have a fun hour. After all, it's Friday. What do we want to do when we close out the week? We want to have some thoughts and some insights for ourselves that we can carry around during the weekend so we can empower ourselves in a way that maybe we haven't thought of doing before. Well, my guest today is Louise Lewis. Her wonderful book is called No Experts Needed. What is this all about? It's about the meaning of life according to you. And I want to welcome Louise to the show. Hello.
Hello. Thank you so much. My pleasure being here.
Well, it's a delight, Louise. Now, you have had a 20-year career in marketing and advertising. You've been involved in the high-tech industry. And is this your debut book?
It is. It is.
Well, congratulations. I think you've done a very nice job.
Thank you very much.
Now, Louise, this didn't come about because you said, gee, I want to go and write a book. You had some situations that occurred to you. Tell us your story and how you decided you were going to embark on what really ended up being an extremely interesting journey.
Well, you're absolutely right. I always believed that everybody has a book in them. I just never knew where mine was and had no plans of ever writing a book, really. But on one chosen day, I was set free from my job, better known as getting laid off because of the dot-com implosion. I was one of the victims of that. And when I received my pink slip, I was sitting in the San Jose, California airport about ready to jump into depression, just panicking, not knowing what I was going to do for my future. I had a mortgage. I'm a single gal. What the heck was I going to do? And just seconds before choosing to spiral down into depression, I just, as they say, gave it up. I just kind of in desperation, I just said, God, what am I going to do? Well, I received his answer, and that's what put me on this path to my book.
All right. And what was the thought that came into your head that was the answer, as you describe it?
The main thing that I received was he basically said, Louise, almost get over yourself. This is just a new chapter in your life. And in that moment, Donna, I just got it. You know, like the whole world just aligned for me. And he said, this is just a new chapter in your life. You hold the pen. I'll guide your hand. And together, we'll write one hell of a chapter. And from that moment on, I took my lucky ink pen and my journal, traveled to many parts of the country, the world, in my own backyard, and with the help of one Oprah Winfrey show, was inspired to ask people, what is the meaning of life?
Now, that's a big question, because there are so many different perspectives that could be given. But what you found is that when you ask people about the meaning of life, you ask all kinds of people from different walks of life. It was just, hey, give me a minute. What is the meaning of life to you? And that, I think, is a marvelous approach to use because people are going to be candid with you. If they know that you're writing a book or that you're curious, that's a very profound question. You met a guy named Carlos. Tell us about Carlos.
He was my very first. And I'll remember him to the day I die. It was one of those nights where, you know, it was shortly after I had gotten set free and was just out having dinner and a glass of wine, and we just started this little chatter, you know, and anybody who knows me more than 5 seconds knows that I don't stay on superficial topics very long. I can't talk about the weather for very long. So we really started, you know, delving deeply into life, and we told each other our life stories and all that. And it was just an amazing event. As I was listening to him, my mind split in two. And this was before I even knew what question I was going to be asking people. And as I'm talking to him, I'm receiving the question. And so when he's finishing, you know, one of his stories, I just look at him, and we had been speaking for about an hour, and I just said, I've got to ask you something. And he said, okay. And I said, well, I think I'm going to write a book, and I need to ask you a question. And he was, you know, obviously very ready to do whatever I asked, because we had gotten, you know, so close in so short a time. And so I just asked him, I said, you know, here's a piece of paper, and I wrote, you know, my own legalese, like you give me permission to publish your answer, and I just said, what is the meaning of life? And you have to answer it right here and there, right, you know, right now, your spontaneous answer. And he just started scribbling away. And from there, I just said, that's what I'm going to do wherever I go. And a lot of the times, actually probably 95% of the time, I was just sometimes told to go to a certain place or talk to a certain person. And before I even mentioned that I was writing a book, we'd have this great conversation. And as I call it, dots were connected of just similarities of our lives or just something like a story they had to tell me or something. It was just, I call it just divine driven. It was just uncanny of the number of stories in the book that were just meant to be.
And Carlos, his meaning of life, he said, it's the rational intent from a human being to know the universe through knowing himself. Those are pretty powerful words.
Those were words from one of his grade school teachers. And, you know, the young man was 65 or 67, something like that, when I met him. And he carried those words in his heart all of his life.
Now, because of being laid off, you knew that you weren't in a position to do very much of anything at the moment, so you decided to be involved in a friend's wedding in Hawaii. And you travel over to the big island of Hawaii, and you really had some very special moments there. Tell us what happened in Hawaii.
Well, it's just, I think a wedding is always so special. It can be depressing if you're a single gal, not dating anybody, but, you know, I choose to look at a wedding, that kind of celebration, as my own opportunity to enjoy the love in my life. And, you know, the wedding was great. It was beautiful and all that. And I just simply, after the wedding ceremony, you know, everybody went back to their respective hotels, I just once again grabbed my journal and, you know, went out for a glass of wine and just looking at over the sunset and the ocean and all this. And this gentleman just kind of meandered toward my table. So I have this kind of a bring it on kind of, you know, attitude. It's like, why are you here, you know? And long story short, you know, we just started talking about, you know, the meaning of life type of thing. And I just said, you've got to be in my book. And, you know, his answer was so wonderful. It's just, he inspired me so much because he knew he was living exactly where he was supposed to be in life, doing exactly what he wanted to do in the physical location where he just knew it in his whole being. And it just made me wonder, it's like, how many of us know this or are following our spirit?
Was this Dan that you were talking to?
I'm sorry?
Was this Dan?
Oh, no. Dan, oh, that's another special one. Dan,
yes, he was really someone you weren't so sure that you were going to talk to.
Oh, Dan, yeah, he turned me down flat. You know, I was writing in my journal, and, you know, his first comment was, oh, you're writing a book. And I thought, well, this is odd, you know, but, you know, good guess. And I said, well, yes, I am. And I never would tell people that early on. And I said, sure, I am. I would like to be in it. You have to answer one question. And he just looked at me and was like, nope, thank you, and turned around. And I thought, well, okay, I wasn't supposed to meet you tonight or whatever. And then about 2.3 seconds later, he spun around. He said, okay, you got me. What's the question? Well, he read, you know, what is the meaning of life on his little piece of paper, and he kind of chuckled, and he said, huh, I've been thinking about this for the past year, year and a half. And I said, well, why is that? And once again, to make a long story short, he said, within the past 18 months or so, my son died, my father died, and my uncle died, all in the past year to year and a half. And as he was writing his answer, Donna, I just thought for sure that as I looked at him, I would see some dark cloud hovering above his head or something. But all I saw was just this peaceful look on his face. And I just thought, he's got to be very spiritual. And reading his answer, I was right.
you have all of these different people that are in your book and their different statements. One is Marcel, and she was such a lovely, lovely person, and she had traveled all over the world.
Oh, I'm so jealous of her still.
And she's only in her 20s.
I know.
So with Marcel, she said, as simply as I can put it, remember to celebrate the mystery every day. Remember humor, and always distinguish love and fear. For someone in her 20s, that's a lot of wisdom to be able to put down on a piece of paper.
That's why I don't believe there was any accident that I ran into her that night in, you know, Mendocino. She just was one of those old souls. And then, you know, she really caught my eye when she just started listing out every place in the world that she's been. And it's like, I want to be you when I grow up, and I'm twice your age.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, that's the whole, one of the messages of the book is you certainly can add meaning to your life every day just by talking to the person sitting next to you. Not about the weather, not about Britney Spears, and that's all okay, but when you really get down to the real stuff of life and ask really good questions like the meaning of life or similar, it's amazing what comes out of the mouth of people and how much you have in common with people versus more differences.
Now let's talk about a person that was especially dear to you, and that was your dad.
Yeah.
Now you told the story of your dad in this book because there was a very special series of experiences that you went through. Share that with my audience.
Oh, my dad came out with my mom early 2005, and as soon as he got off the plane, for the first time in my life, I saw an old man, and immediately I received a message that said, you best be, you know, prepare for his death. So picked him up at LAX here in Los Angeles, drove an hour south, got him in my living room, and from a man who has never really offered a lot of communication, the first thing out of his mouth was, how long would it take you to get home in case something happened? And I'm just looking at him like, oh, my God, you are so reading my mind. First time in my life, but let's go. Bring it on. So I just, you know, just jumped into it. I said, okay, well, you just flew out here. It would take me 4 or 5 hours. And he just nodded. And I just said, well, let's do it right here and now. And he's holding my gaze, not blinking, and he knows exactly what I'm talking about. I said, let's have the deathbed conversation right here and now.
Well, people would think that that's a rather odd thing to say. But when you are around someone, there is that element that if you are really willing and receptive to listen to it, that will let you know that someone's going to pass away. It's happened to me a number of times, and it is just, to me, it's a blessing when you're able to know that, because then you're able to do what you did and actually have that conversation with your father. If you had put it off and said, oh, I can't talk like this, or this is a bad thing to say, this is going to cause you to miss out on something that maybe you don't want to miss out on. And you had a very good conversation with your father.
Yes, I've become the poster child to tell everybody, you know, I don't care if, you know, it's a young kid and their parent's only 40 or something. It's like anybody in your life, it's hard, it's uncomfortable. You may, you know, think it's crazy, but I tell people, it will so help in the grieving process knowing that you said all those words, you've addressed any issue you may have had, or you just said, hey, let's flush the past. Here's the now. Let's move forward in a clean spirit of our relationship. Knowing you did that, the rest of your life you will live with no regrets. And I stress that so strongly to people. They're probably tired of hearing me say it by now, but it is just so vital to do with every loved one, all your friends, for purely selfish reasons, just so you know that you've said all the words.
Now, you went to a number of your family members, too, because you talked to many of them, and, boy, some of them really had some very, very strong comments and quite long comments. They really put a lot of thought into what they wanted to express about what's the meaning of life. But you have a niece, Carolyn, and she is quite a personality.
She's our miracle child for a lot of reasons. She's studying at Harvard right now to become a doctor, and I can learn from her. I mean, I can sit at her feet and just say, start talking. Don't edit yourself, and she has no idea the pearls that are coming out. And in the book, she was, if memory serves, 8 or 9 when she uttered that amazing little answer, and she didn't even know she was saying it.
Yes, she said, the meaning of life, it's all in what you think it is. And how old was she when she made that statement?
She was about 8 or 9 or something like that.
By golly, you ought to have this book and put it in a time box somewhere and tag that page about Caroline so that at a certain age you gift it to her when she's 21 and say, remember the wisdom that was in you when you were little.
Oh, absolutely. And it's like you said with family members, I learned more about my family members doing this book than in all the, 40-something years prior. It was just an amazing adventure just within my own family.
Now, you went off to Italy, which I think is one of the most wonderful places you could ever go to. If you're going to be depressed, make sure you go to Italy and be really good and depressed, right?
Oh, it's one of my favorites.
Oh, it's just so magical. And not only that, but if people know that you're feeling down, I'm telling you, they're going to feed you until you're ready to pop, and they'll talk your ears out. So you can't afford to be depressed for very long. So if you go over there. That's a good place to go.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, you had a wonderful guy, Massimo. And one of the things he said about the meaning of life is that to satisfy his curiosity was so important. He's curious about everything. Who was Massimo?
Massimo was the first cute guy that I saw when I landed in Florence.
Now, I like your attitude, and I like your approach. You say, you look the best so far. Sit down, and we're going to talk.
I just put it out there, and he giggled, and he was the bartender. I was before dinner, I stopped in outside of my little pensione and had a glass of wine, and talk about starting up a conversation. That's the great way to do it. But it was just that whole restaurant. The owner, the manager of it, was just fabulous. It was just a wonderful experience. As you said, only Italians can deliver.
They are great. And then there was Luigi. Now, what was really surprising to me about Luigi is that he had like a paragraph and a half, and I'm going to share with my listeners. Dreaming is to have one dream, and don't stop to wish your dream. Everyday life often gets us far from our dream and makes us less sensitive to the signs of what destiny sends to us, the way. I think that we receive the signs for finding the way of our wish. We must not lose the ability to listen or to see this message. I think that when you really want something, the universe works with you because your wish becomes true. The price is sometimes a big sacrifice. Now, how old a man was Luigi?
He was young. I'd say he was mid-40s. And just, it was just, as I say in my book, it was like he was telling me my own answer. Because he was dictating it to me. Because, his English was wonderful, but his writing ability was not so good. So I was, transcribing it or dictating it. He was dictating it to me. And at every sentence, every word that I was writing, all I could do is just nod and shake my head and smile and say, yes, yes, yes. And people around us thought we were crazy, but it was just amazing. Halfway around the world, and I just, by quote-unquote accident, meet this man who could tell me my own philosophy.
Now, you have a chapter, A Man-Made Lake, A God-Given Blessing. This was intriguing because you believe very strongly that everything happens for a reason, that there's purpose. And you know that a lot of people would argue with you on that. However, you have a test that you like people to take. Tell us about that test.
Well, there are two camps. You either think it's all random chaos or you think there is a reason. And for me, the biggest litmus test is just how I feel inside. And I just ask people to ask themselves, you know, two questions. You know, do you believe in random chaos? And do you think there's a reason behind everything? And as you're asking yourself those questions, sit inside of your heart. Engage how you're feeling. And ask yourself, for either question, which one made you relax and breathe a bit deeper and maybe relax the muscles of your face and maybe even put a smile on your face? Keep doing it until you really can get a sense of the shift in your body. And that will be your answer. And now, like you said, you know, a lot of people can disagree with me, and I say, bring it on. We can agree to disagree and still go out for coffee after.
Sure.
But it's important that you really get to your own truth. And for me, that's only reached through silence, to hear the silence between my thoughts. And that's why I tell people, just keep asking yourself, what do you really believe in? Not just what your head tells you or what's popular today or what you just cop to because you're afraid someone is going to argue with you. But in the silence of your own heart, you've got to know. And personally, I tell everybody, when you start believing, you do start seeing it. But if you're close to it, you're never going to see anything more.
You met a man by the name of Dell. You asked him about the meaning of life, and he said, there isn't any, it's random events. Yet you had the most intriguing conversation with this man.
Oh, gosh, I can't put this into sound bites. Actually, I'm going to visit him. This was about 5 years ago that I met him on a train in Australia. He joined my table at dinner, and I'm hoping I'm meeting some exotic people, you know, crossing the Nullarbor Plain in Australia. The man was from Northern California. I live in Southern California. So we giggled about, you know, how exotic that was. But the very first time I laid eyes on the man, I just knew something was up with him. His, you know, he was smiling, but his eyes were so dead. And, of course, being the pushy broad that I am, very lovingly, I just got to the truth of it. Well, he opened up later on in the trip that, you know, his wife of 50-some-odd years had just passed about 6 months prior to his trip. And so it was as basic as a philosophy. He calls himself a rationalist philosopher, does not believe in God. Of course, things are just random to him. And now you're talking to the direct opposite here. But I just received a message that said, just listen to him. And that's all I did. I just let him speak. And when he would ask me, I would just politely say, well, my views are a bit different, but let's talk about it. And that was, 5 years ago. We've, continued corresponding, and he's been living with prostate cancer for a long time, to really bring this full circle for you. And a couple of weeks ago, we were on the phone, and I just, once again, received that message that said, before it's too late, have that deathbed conversation with him. So it was his birthday on Monday. I couldn't make it this past weekend, so I'm leaving tomorrow morning, going to go up to Dale, spend a couple of nights at his house and friends, and we're going to have that conversation.
How marvelous. You have had a fabulous adventure, and in the course, again, of talking to so many people, you met a gentleman by the name of John who had daughters, and he wrote a poem for you. And it was a poem directed towards his girls, and this is how it read. Your life is a series of choices you make, a product of the paths you take. Each day a fresh start from beginning to end, a chance each time to begin again. We create the person we want to be. Our actions are our legacy. The manner that we choose each day defines our lives along the way. To take quick action or lag behind, deciding if you'll give all you've got to give, determines the life you elect to live. Then days, then weeks, then months, then years grow into a lifetime, and soon it appears that you've written the story that bears your name. The sum of your days and the choices became the book that is open for the world to see. Make sure it's the tale you want it to be. Your book, No Experts Needed. What is the meaning of life to you? You spent how many years putting this together? What has changed in your life because of this journey? You've taken with this book, No Extras Needed?
Oh, that's a great question. I think what's happened to me is just a deeper commitment to continue peeling people's onions, is a way of putting it, or allowing them the time to listen to them so they can peel their own onion. It's just the importance of just always following the messages that are sent to me by what I call spirit. And it's just, you say amazing adventure, it's just an understatement of just following what's being told and not question, you know, why am I doing this or how am I going to get there, but just doing it, you know, like the Nike commercials, just do it. And I've learned that once I continue to commit more and more to just following those messages, the picture that's drawn from connecting all these dots is just fabulous. And I want more.
Mm-hmm. No Experts Needed. Louise Lewis is my guest. Louise, I know we've got just a little bit of time before we close out. I'd love you to tell Marty's story, because that is a very profound. You've had a number of very intuitive experiences in this journey so far. And, of course, I don't think your journey is over. But I do think Marty's story is worth mentioning. Tell us his story.
Oh, one of my favorites. You just nailed it. Once again, I was not knowing where I was going to dinner one night. I just happened to get in my car and just said, okay, where am I going? And the message I received was to go to a place called Bayside. Now, once again, full circle, you mentioned Carlos. Carlos was my first one, and I met him at Bayside. So I drove over there thinking, oh, hey, bring it on. Something's good going to happen tonight, you know. And there was this gentleman at the bar, you know, having his dinner with his wife. Thank you very much. And I was sitting there writing in my journal, as I always do, and he kept making comments to me. So I kind of politely, you know, nodded and made sure I made eye contact with his wife, you know, wanted to be very respectful. But I was trying to blow him off. And he kept making comments about what was on TV or this or that. So I finally, like, put my ink pen down, and I turned to him to, like, say, okay, you have something to tell me, you know. So he looked at me, and he said, oh, you're writing a book, aren't you? And it's like, well, absolutely. I said, would you like to be in it? Well, he just kicked off this story. He said, I have to tell you about my son, and I have to tell you about Marty. And then, you know, he walks away and goes to the bathroom. Well, his wife chimes in, and she tells me that Marty was diagnosed with cancer. And while she was in the hospital, the wife went to the hospital to visit her. And as soon as she arrived at the bedside, Marty just looked at her and said, congratulations, you're going to be so happy. Now, the wife, you know, not wanting to tell her she's crazy or something, didn't say anything and just, you know, walked away. The next day, the wife learns that she's pregnant. Short time after that, Marty dies. So then the husband's back, he chimes in and starts talking about their son. And he just said, you know, the saying of, you know, when one spirit leaves, another enters. He said, our son is Marty, you know, just through how he acts, what he says, his smile, his eyes. So through their son, Marty lives on. And as they're telling me this, all I can do in the back of my mind saying, thank you, God. You now tell me why I came here tonight to hear these people, because he definitely had a story to tell me, and I don't think he even knew why he was talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
But now that Marty's story is in the book, she does indeed live on.
Well, there are more stories like this in No Experts Needed, The Meaning of Life According to You. Louise Lewis has been my guest today. Her website is noexpertsneeded.com. Noexpertsneeded.com. Louise, thank you for being my guest.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be taking a break for a moment. When we come back, phone lines will be open. Don't go away. We've got lots of good things to share.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. Shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.DelphiInternational.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hello, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756, also 530-876-3222. I've got a fabulous recipe for a wonderful pie. Yes, if you're like me, you enjoy having dessert every once in a while, but you don't want anything really heavy. And during the summer, one of my husband's favorite pies, which I have learned to enjoy, is called the key lime pie. Good stuff. It is really good. Floridarians or whatever you want to say it, people from Florida, let me just make it simple. This is a trademark for many of the cooks in the area of Florida. This is really known as the pie of pies. And believe it or not all people can make it very well. Well, I know I've made it. It is absolutely outstanding, but it can be extremely high in calories. Well, I have got a recipe for you where it doesn't have to be that high, and it's going to really satisfy your taste buds. So have that pad of paper and pen handy so I can share it with you. Got a lot of good items here that I want to bring to your attention. One of them is about smelling your way to happiness. No, that doesn't mean you go out and get super glue. That's not what I'm talking about. I am talking about odors. And, of course, research has been done on this for, I don't know how many years now. The Japanese became very aware of how certain scents, like orange, the citrusy scents, when they were put out into the air in working environments, people perked up. They became generally much more alert. Instead of having the afternoon drag, they would just feel better. Very refreshing. We all know about the smell of mints and how much that can mean to us, and fragrances of different types. My goodness, look at the perfume industry. Does it have an influence? Absolutely. Fragrance is very, very important. Well, incense has been a key to many different types of ceremonies for, my goodness, nobody even knows when it started to be used, but it has been something that has had a great deal of significance. Now, researchers recently found that there was a particular type of incense that may also act as an uplifting drug. Yes, so I'll tell you more after we take this call. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Good evening, Donna. This is Lyle from Indianapolis.
Hi, Lyle. Is the sun shining in Indy?
It is shining. The humidity is in the tolerable range, and it's nice and sunny.
Well, you can keep your humidity. I'll take the sun. In the Pacific Northwest, it's gray, it's windy, but I think we're all huffing and puffing hard enough where it's going to push that gray stuff out, and we're going to see more of that golden glow called sunshine that we so dearly love out here. But I just thought I'd check with you. I know it gets pretty humid back in your neck of the woods.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. That's when you wish you had a body air conditioner.
Oh, yes.
Well, let's get down to business with you, Lyle. First thing that I am looking at is there is a lot of intensity around you. There is not a great deal of time to play. And there has been also a level of frustration where you wonder, are you on track? Are you getting sidetracked too easily? What is it that you're not doing for yourself to help move things along a little bit more quickly? Well, actually, I think the pace of change that is evolving is a good pace. This is not bad. However, what I would like to encourage you to be aware of is that you need to understand that the pace of change is going to serve you well. You do have to be attentive to the little tiny steps that you see yourself taking. Be patient with them and make sure that every step you take, you put your firm footing down so that you're solidly in place and you're not going to wobble or lose your balance. And even though these are little steps, they are good steps. They are important steps, and you want to follow through with it. You've got a lot of work ahead of you for this next year and a half. That's not a surprise. It's pretty much been the story of your life. However, you are realizing there are ways that you can work smarter. Can't work any harder, but you can work smarter. And you're going to be learning about some of those steps from someone that you will respect as a mentor. And one of the things you're going to be doing is opening your mouth and asking questions. And this is very important for you because you'll realize that this is really what you need to do more of. Make your notes and then do the trial and error. See if the suggestions you get are going to be of value to you. If not, fine, you discard them and say, well, that's number 50,005, so I don't need that one. But I'll take this one over here because this piece of information is very, very, very much applicable to what I want to use it for. So I really think that you are in the throes of change that are maturing you on multiple levels very quickly. So be wise, be patient, and follow through and do what you need to do. The little steps will add up. What question would you like to ask me, Lyle?
Well, I'll just have to have a comment. And I say everything that you said is right, and I understand these are changes, but the frustration is still there because I wanted to speed up. I know I have to relax and just let it take its course, like you were saying. The question I had for you was, I am a contractor at a business, and they've had a position open up in the area that I'm in, and I was going to apply for that position. I was going to ask you if you saw me getting the position.
What I would like for you to do is make an inquiry about what the position really is going to offer. And is this really what you want? Or are you going to be doing it because you want a level of financial security? I also would want you to investigate this company to find out if this is a company that has long-term plans. For some reason, I am picking up that this company might be sold in 5 years. Now, that's neither good nor bad. But you need to be able to really ask yourself how you would deal with certain changes, what this positioning would enable you to do, if you're wanting to go back to school to refine some levels of education that you feel that you need to attain, that's wonderful. Would they be supportive of that? The company, I think, is a good contract for you, but I would really check into the attitudes of the people there. You need to find out, and you need to pay attention, and find out exactly what the, what I want to say, the temperament of management is for the company. And ask yourself if this is an environment, again, that you want to be in.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
You're very welcome.
You have a nice evening.
Well, thank you, sir, and you'll have to call me back and let me know what's happened.
Okay, I will.
All right, Lyle. You have a fabulous weekend now.
You too.
This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. It's that simple, just like Lyle did. I just love to know where you're calling in from, though, so be sure and give me your first name or your initial. And again, I like to know where you are located. It's always interesting to find out. Now, I do want to tell you, before we go on break, about the guests that are coming up next week. We have a dynamic lineup. We are going to be talking on Monday with Captain Eric Navarro. We're going to be talking about his very informative and powerful book called God Willing, My Wild Ride with the New Iraqi Army. Fascinating material. You're not going to want to miss him. Also, on Tuesday, we're going to be talking about college. We're going to be talking about 27 winning strategies for success. And we're going to be talking with Dr. Debbie Yon. Very good information. If you've got any people heading off for college, this is really going to be good for you and for them as well. Then we're going to go off into outer space. We're going to be talking about flying saucers and science. Stanton Friedman is going to be my guest. Then we're going to also have a chat about a woman who has passed away, but who was the real Tinkerbell. You know that adorable fairy in Peter Pan? She was a real person. Disney found the real-life Tinkerbell, and for a long time, she actually performed at Disneyland, flying through the air, doing her special trick. But she has a fascinating story to share. Janet Davis is the biographer, and we're going to be talking about the Circus Queen and Tinkerbell. This is a true story. Then we're going to be talking about beauty. Kat James is going to be my guest next Friday, and she has so much to share. This is a woman that has dealt in the area of the professional beauty environment, and she has a lot of good insights. We've got a dynamic grouping of people next week, and I hope that you'll tell your friends. And don't forget, you're able to listen to these shows should you miss any of them. You always get to go to the archives, and that's one of the wonderful things we're able to give you here at BBS Radio. Just know you don't have to miss a show. If you don't get me when I'm on live, you can listen to me later on for any hour of the day or night. It just works perfectly. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you the rest of this story about the incense. Don't go away.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. And give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756, and also 530-876-3222. Before our caller, I was talking to you about some research that had been done regarding smells. and that there was a particular incense that, when they researched it, found that it also acts as an uplifting drug. And this is something that has been used for thousands and thousands of years. How was this worked on? How was this discovered? Well, it was a team of Israeli and U.S. scientists. They isolated a compound from the Boswellia tree, and it has a resin, and it's best known as frankincense. Isn't that an interesting term? Frankincense. Well, they took this and they injected it into mice. What they found is that the chemical that was taken out of the frankincense, it was very soothing to mice. And when they put the mice into high and anxiety-induced sessions, then they found that they responded differently. They were able to work with it. Let's say they put the little critters in water for prolonged periods and they had to tread water. And they said what they've noticed, it has similar effects as the antidepressant and anti-anxiety drugs that are used. And Ari Musayef, a pharmacologist from the Hebrew University of Jerusalem, was one of the primary leaders in this study. And in the study, as they were going along, they found with further investigation the compound, which was named incensol acetate, can regulate the flow of ions in and out of neurons in a manner similar to the way antidepressant drugs work. Good old frankincense. Who knew? Well, they've isolated this information. They think that this chemical formation they found in frankincense may be the key to a new class of antidepressants, and also enable them to understand more about the molecular workings of the brain and how it has the impact on emotion. Fascinating stuff. You wonder, this has been around for centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries. But somebody's curiosity said, I wonder, why is it that it's so soothing? What is the chemical compound? Well, now you've got a little bit of insight in it. I'm sure that it'll take them another 25 years to figure out certain things, but that's all right. Somebody at least is asking questions, and they're making a difference in the understanding. Speaking of understanding, by the way, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. I wanted to share with you something that I came across in the way of information, and I just thought that this was amazing. Have you ever heard about the greatest liar on earth? No, I'm not talking about the ex-boyfriend or ex-girlfriend. I mean, the absolute greatest liar on earth. Now, I don't know that this is true because I haven't done this research at all. But it's a story about a guy named Louis. And his name was Louis de Roumet. And he had a story that he was telling people. He was telling them that he had lived for 30 years among the cannibals of Australia. Well, in his day and era, and this was in the 1800s, it was 1898 about, he caused a sensation. Of course, if you keep yourself in that time frame, that mindset, you can imagine what that would have done. Oh, my goodness. In the Victorian minds, that would have been absolutely a phenomenon. Well, a lot of scientific societies invited him to give lectures on his experiences, and a waxwork model of him was placed in Madame Tussaud's in London. That is how famous he became. Now, he described in the late 1800s in a magazine, Wide World, how, after being shipwrecked off the northwestern coast of Australia, he had taken part in cannibal feasts, built a house of pearl shells, sent off fleets of pelicans carrying messages in six different languages, and had ridden on 600-pound turtles. Wait a minute. This is the 1800s we're talking about, okay? It's not today's world. So don't, you may be laughing at this thing. Oh, give me a break. You mean they fell for it? You have to remember, the world at that time did not have the communication like we have today. Now, he also claimed to have cured himself of fever by sleeping in the body of a dead buffalo. Well, that's something that's been done among Indians in the past. Now, guess what? He ended up being exposed as a fraud. That did not stop Louis. No way. He made good again, cashing in big time by giving lectures in South Africa. describing himself as the greatest liar on earth. I read that and I just had to chuckle. I said, this guy has the moxie for his era that is absolutely something else. And I'm sure there's some other people in this world that would probably qualify as being in the same category. But for right now, he had that tag and he used it and it made him a wealthy man. Okay, if you got that pad of paper and pen, let's get the recipe here for the low-fat key lime pie. Oh, good thing. Now, this is the way the ingredients will go. You're going to have 9 key limes, or you can get 3 regular limes. 9 key limes, and they're a specific kind of lime, and you may only be able to get them back on the East Coast, or 3 regular limes. You're going to need 1 can, a 14-ounce can, of fat-free sweetened condensed milk. Now, remember, it's a fat-free kind. You're going to need 3 egg whites, 1 drop of green food coloring. Trust me, that's all you'll need is 1 drop. 3 drops of yellow food coloring. 3 drops of yellow food coloring. You're going to need a 1 6-ounce graham cracker pie crust. And if you want, you can get the low-fat kind of pie crust. I mean, it's up to you. But a regular pie crust will be just fine. And then you're going to need 1 container of reduced-fat frozen whipped topping, and just let it thaw out in your refrigerator. And then you want to see if you can use some sugared lime zest. And, of course, that's optional. Now, this is how easy this is. You preheat your oven to 325 degrees, and while that is preheating in a bowl, you want to grate 2 teaspoons of zest and squeeze 1/2 of juice from lime. Now, if you want to get the juice out, maybe you've heard me mention this before with recipes that require juice from lemons or limes. Put your limes in your microwave for maybe about 5 seconds, maybe 10 seconds, and you'll find that they will have so much more juice. The microwave really releases the juice inside, and you'll get more than you ever expect. You need 1/2 cup of lime juice from the fresh limes. And believe me, there's a difference between the fresh juice and the bottled. I don't care how you cut it. Fresh is best, especially for this pie. Then you want to whisk in your milk, your whites, and your food coloring. And if you're wise, you'll use a mixer with a whip. Just don't do any more by hand if you don't have to. Then all you do is pour it into the crust. You bake it in your 325-degree oven for 20 to 25 minutes. Or you need to check this, that the filling is set. It's sort of custardy. Then you just want to let it cool. And then when you're ready to serve, and it's going to take about an hour or so for this really to cool down to room temperature. Once it's totally cooled, then you may want to just put a piece of wax paper over the top of it so you don't get a skimmy covering over the pudding section that's been baking. So what you want to do, and that's after it's cooled, you put that in the fridge. Now, if you're going to serve it fairly quickly after it's cooled, you don't need to worry about that. You can just put your whipped topping on top of that. If you're someone that says, gee, I don't want to use any of that whipped stuff in the store, then you can use real whipped cream. But this is a low-fat recipe. So you can use the low-fat whipped cream that you can buy in your freezer and freezer section at the grocery store, and then you garnish it with zest. Or you can use real finely grated the zest. If you don't want to use the sugary stuff, just put that on. But, oh, it is so good, and it's so refreshing on a hot night. It cannot be beat. Well, this is Donna Sebo. We're out of time. Don't forget, we're going to have a dynamic week next week, and you're invited to come and keep company with us. We would be delighted to have you. Remember also that you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Your imagination, there's no limit. Your opportunities, they're all around you. Success, you can reach for it. You can have it. It belongs to you. It's yours. But I will have a caveat. You may have to earn it. This is Donna Sebo. See you on Monday. Same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.